Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly shares about relationships in our new series, Couples Therapy.
Well, congratulations. First thing I want to say today, I just want to say a huge congratulations to all of you. I know many of you had sworn you would never set foot in a place like this. You'd never do this, and you're here today, and I'm so happy. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about therapy. Congratulations. You made it to therapy. You made it. Your friends drug you here. You didn't know what we were going to talk about. You're kind of looking at each other, maybe getting ready to send some elbows. That's okay. We all need it. But man, I'm so glad you're here. Congratulations. You made it to therapy. For some of you today, it's couples therapy. For some of you today, it's please God put me in a couples therapy. Right? But I mean, we've kind of gone all out. Is it everything you hoped it would be? I mean, we have a couch here. Right? And so we're gonna kind of sit on the couch and talk. I kind of wanted to preach from the couch, and I was told I couldn't do that. You saw him bring the couch out earlier. I really wanted them to, like, bring me out like this, you know? I'm like, they said no. TJ was like, you cannot do that. And so, if you notice, I did that fast enough for she couldn't get a picture. I know what I'm doing, folks. But here's what I wanted to do, right? So you're here. It's therapy. It's couples therapy. It feels kind of weird. So I kind of want to break the tension, right? So I know you all have your phones because, you know, that we all have our phones here. So bring the lights up real quick. What I want to do is if you're here by yourself, if you're here with somebody else, if you're here as a couple, I want you to quickly take it's not a selfie if you're with other people. It's a coupley, I guess. I don't know. But real quick, get your phones out. Go ahead. Everybody do it. Get your phones out. I want you to lean in, take a picture, right? And then I want you to either tweet it or Instagram it or Facebook it or whatever you do, right? And I want you to say, we're in couples therapy at Wellspring Church, right? Go ahead. I'll give you a second. Just let the world know you're in couples therapy at Wellspring. So I didn't know you could take a picture in church. Did you? Somebody like, I thought we were supposed to have our phones in church. Not this church. But go ahead and send that out. Here's why, man. I know that might be a little weird, a little awkward, but let me tell you, your mother-in-law is going to be so excited when she sees that. She's going to call this week and just be so thrilled. She's going to say, I've been praying for y'all. Is I answer to prayer. That's what she'll say. That's what she'll say. But hey, thrilled that you're here. Thrilled that you're here to be a part of this series we're calling Couples Therapy. You know, I'm really hoping, I know it says Couples Therapy, but I really hope this series has something for everybody. It is specifically geared towards couples, but it's also geared towards people who want to be in a couple or who previously were a couple and wish they could be in a couple again, right? So if you're here today and your marriage is pretty good, our hope is that the series will make it better. If you're here today and your marriage is hanging by a thread, our hope is that this series can give you some hope. And if that is you today, I want you to hear, there is hope today. And it's not just because I say there's hope. I will be willing to bet you are either sitting on a row or sitting in front of a row or sitting behind a row of a couple who at some point felt exactly like you feel. They didn't think there was hope. But they did what I'm going to encourage you to do today. They went back to the creator of relationships. And they said, hey, you know what? We've tried this our way for a long time. Let's see what the creator has to say. Because see, that's really what this whole series is about. This series isn't about what I think about relationships. This series isn't really even about what Wellspring Church thinks about relationships. This series is about what God thinks about relationships. Because God created man and woman. And God created us to have a relationship. And doesn't it stand to reason that the creator of the thing would be the best person to go to figure out how to fully and perfectly operate the thing? It makes a whole lot of sense. Now, we don't always do that. We don't always embrace that truth. But that's kind of where we are today. So if you're here today and you're with the one, if you're here today and they used to be the one, you want them to be the one again, if you're here today trying to figure out if the one you're with is the one, or if you're here today saying, dear God, baby Jesus, just give me anybody. I just want someone. Wherever you are today, man, we're here. Whatever your relationship status is today, I believe that God wants to speak to you, right? And I believe it's going to take some time. Now, this is a five-week series, and I'm just going to go and tell you right now, I am not going to talk about everything today. I'm not going to cover everything today. That would be impossible for me to cover everything today. Now, over the next 5 weeks, we are going to cover a whole lot of ground. We're going to cover some very practical things. We're going to talk about some things you're going to be comfortable talking about in church. We might talk about a thing or two you're not quite comfortable talking about in church. But we're only going to talk about things that God talks about, so that's okay. But it's over the next 5 weeks. So I said this to the first service as well. I encourage you, man. If you really want to see God do something in your relationship, or maybe you're a student and you're hoping God's going to prepare your heart for your future relationship, or maybe you're just coming off a bad breakup and you want God to kind of help you for the next one, or seriously, maybe you're here and you're dating and you're trying to figure it out if we're supposed to be together or not, right? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Commit to be a part of this for the next 5 weeks. It's a five-week series. And so put some time in. It's 5 weeks. For what I believe is going to be, by the end of the time, a recipe and a design for everlasting love. I think that's a pretty fair bargain. Now, if you miss it, of course, we always put our sermons online and you can watch them. So I'm not necessarily saying you have to be here every 5 weeks. I'm just saying commit for the next 5 weeks that you and your significant other are going to spend some time either here, or if you miss it, you're going to catch up online. You're going to really try to take what God is trying to say to you and trying to say to me and trying to say to all of us about how to make these relationships work, right? Because the goal we're all looking for, right, is that spark that leads to lifelong, everlasting love and peace and happiness like we see in the movies, right? Well, first of all, that's a movie. But that's really what we all want, right? And I think it's actually possible. I really do. But I'm not sure it's possible the way we currently operate. I think we all have some issues. I think we all have some problems, right? And what we're going to talk about today is really the foundation for everything else we're going to discuss. Because I believe that there is one choice. There is one decision that you need to make and I need to make and we all need to make in our lives when it comes to relationships. And until we make this one decision, until we make this one foundational decision and statement in our lives and in our hearts, we'll never be able to have the relationships we want. We'll never be able to be the person we want in relationships. We'll never find the person that makes us happy for longer than a week. We'll never find any of those things. And it's because of us. It's because we have to make a decision. See, many of you are here today, and you're convinced the reason you should leave or the reason you should give up is because they are not the right one. Right? They're not the one. But what if I were to tell you that one of the main reasons you may not think they're the one is because of something wrong with you. Now, for some of you, as we're going to talk about through this series, they're not the one and you need to dump them, right? Trust me, I'm all about that. But today we're going to talk about ourselves, right? The reason we call this couples therapy is because we all need therapy. We all need some help. And quite frankly, I think therapy gets a bad rap. I mean, think about it. Therapy, you have a couch. You get to sit. You add a TV in. It's my favorite thing in the world. It's the best. Right? So therapy gets a bad rap, right? We hear therapy, we think we're going to have to do weird things. I know some of you are afraid the puppets are going to come out. But no puppets, I promise. But think about it. I want to define therapy for you, okay? Because I think we have a bad kind of taste in our mouth about therapy. Here's what therapy is. Therapy is simply treatment intended to relieve or heal a disorder. That's it. Treatment intended to relieve, heal a disorder. And whether you know it or not, we all have a disorder. And all the women went, mm-hmm. We do. Women, you have a disorder as well. Men say nothing. But we all have this disorder, right? Because let me define for you disorder. Disorder is simply a state of confusion. Men, have you ever been confused by a woman? Don't laugh too hard. You have a disorder. Women, have you ever been puzzled or perplexed by what the man in your life did or didn't do? It's always what we didn't do, right? It's what we didn't do, and it's not that we didn't do it, it's that we didn't want to do it. It's like, what does that mean? But we have this confusion, right? You're confused, I'm confused. And one of the goals of this series, really, is as we dive into what God has to say about all this stuff, is that I believe some of the confusion is going to be relieved. And we're going to be able to see, oh, okay, so that's why that matters to you. Okay. Oh, and that's why you don't quite get that I care about this more than you do. Okay, I understand now. I get this. So the way we fix the confusion is by going to therapy. And so that's really all this series is going to be, is to help us relieve some of the major confusions we have in our life. And the biggest confusion you have and I have and we all have is what we're going to talk about today is this. We all ask of people something they are not equipped to provide. Every one of us. We ask of other people something they are not equipped to provide. Now you may say, well, what does that mean? Why do we ask that? I don't understand that. We ask them for money when they don't have money? No. We all value people more than we should. I know that sounds harsh, but we do. And it's because of something you were born with and I was born with and we were all born with. It's a specific kind of disorder we all have, and we're calling it an order disorder. You were born with an order disorder. I was born with an order disorder. That means we don't know how to properly order the people and the things in our life. We don't know what should be top. We don't know what should be in the middle. We know that our significant other should be somewhere in there. You're all at church today, so it's some way you know God should be a part of your life at some point, but you don't really know where to put him. You don't know where to put yourself. You know, what I want. And we were all born this way. Think of it like this. Imagine that you had maybe a grandfather or an uncle you were really close with, and they were about to pass away, and they tell you that they're going to write you a letter, and it's a really long letter, right? And in this letter, what they've kind of done is they've kind of laid out their blueprint for life. And in this letter, what they've said is they said, look, I'm going to give you like the top 10 priorities for life, and I'm going to lay it out one at a time, and I'm going to say, man, if you settle this first, everything else will come together, and it's really great. And so they get this bound in a really nice leather binding, and they mail it to you right before they pass away. And by the time it gets to you, they're gone. You've been to the funeral. You get home. You open the package. And in the mail, the binding is broken. And the pages have gotten all confused and all scattered together because they don't have any page numbers on it. So you've got this book, and you've got this truth, and you know all these things are supposed to matter. All these things are supposed to be important, but you have no clue what goes first or second or third. That's how I believe we live our lives. I believe we live our lives fully knowing some things should matter more than others, but we don't know what that is. And what you do and what I do and what we all do when we don't know what to do, we go to the most trusty of indicators in our lives, our feelings. Oh, but I feel this way. I feel like she would never do that. I feel. And they always let us down. Because feelings are supposed to let us down. We're not supposed to trust our feelings. We're not supposed to give in to our feelings at all times. But that's what we do. Or we decide somebody else should be the indicator of our feelings. Someone else should decide how we live our life. And we have this thing, we have this order disorder because you can't quite put it all together. We just can't quite get it. And it's the reason why you end relationships. It's the reason why you chase them so desperately, because you think, if I can just get into this relationship, everything will be okay. And you get in, and it's okay for 3 days. And then in day 4, you realize, oh man, it's the same. And the reason we struggle with that is because you and I and all of us were born with this thing called an order disorder. We don't know how to order our lives. And so we keep trying different things. Now, what if I were to tell you that you could make one decision? You could make one choice. You could decide to put one thing at the top. And by simply putting that one thing back at the top, everything else in your life will fall into place. Everything else in your life will go where it belongs. And you can actually begin to heal the order disorder you were born with and I was born with, and that has been the cause of every single bit of relational pain you've ever had in your entire life. Now, you may not believe me, but you would at least want to hear the solution, right? So that's what I want to do today. I want to actually turn to a story at the very beginning of the Bible. Because what this story does is this story explains how this order disorder came into the world. God did not create the world to have this order disorder. We brought it upon ourselves. But God, because he is God, decided to fix it. So we're gonna look at a passage at the very beginning of the Bible. It's in the book of Genesis, which is the first book in what we call the Old Testament. And in chapter 3, we're going to look at a story about a man named Adam and a woman named Eve. See, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth and that God created Adam and God created Eve. And we talked about Adam and Eve last week. And last week I brought this up and I'm going to bring it up again because there's a lot of new faces and it's nice to see you guys. But a lot of times when you talk about Adam and Eve, you'll have people sit in the room and they'll start to like, really, dude? You, come on. Like, you really believe that there was a real Adam and a real Eve? Like really? You believe that? And they make this face like, really? You believe that? Well, here's what I'll say. I said this last week, and I'll say it again. Here's what I'll say. Here's my response to that. I 100% believe in Jesus, right? And I've read the four biographies of his life that we have at the beginning of the New Testament. They're called the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've read those cover to cover multiple times. And here's the thing. When Jesus talks, Jesus believes in Adam and Eve. Jesus talks about Adam and Eve like they were real. And I don't know about you, but anybody that can call their death, burial, and resurrection and then pull it off, they have my undying trust. So if Jesus says Adam and Eve were real, then I believe they were real. But here's the cool thing about today. Even if you don't believe Adam and Eve are real, it doesn't change the point of today. Even if you believe it was just a story, that's okay. It doesn't change the point of what we're going to look at, because what we're going to see is how this ordered disorder from the very beginning messed us up. This idea that we could set the order of our lives. Because God's been very clear from the very beginning. God's design is this. God, others, me. God's at the top. Go figure. His name is God. Hard to believe he wants to be the God of your life. He wants to be the leader. That makes sense to me, right? So God wants to be number one. He wants to be at the top. He wants to be who you trust above all else. He wants to be who you go to for your peace and for your satisfaction and for your contentment and for your joy and for your guidance. That's what God wants. God wants to be the one you trust the most. And then after God, get this, it's not you. After God, it's other people. And you may think, well, that doesn't sound fair. But get this, when you put God in the top spot, he takes responsibility for your life. So you don't have to worry about it. Because the God of the universe is worrying about it. And I don't know about you, but I can't see the future. Can you see the future? I can't see the future. My wife says she can see the future sometimes when my kids are doing stupid things. She's like, I see the future. And she's probably right. But I can't see the future. I don't know what's going on in other places. I can't read other people's thoughts. I don't have any of those skills. But guess what? God can see the future. He knows what other people are thinking, what other people are doing. So doesn't it make sense that rather than me trying to take responsibility for my own life and be in charge, and I can't do any of those things, I just say, you know what, God? You're smarter than me. You're more powerful than me. You're more capable. You love me. You want the best for me. Yeah, I'm going to let you be in charge. Yeah. And see, when we do that, when we give away that responsibility, we then are free to take what we get from God and pour it into other people. We're able to actually put other people first and care about their well-being more than our own. I know, it sounds horrible, right? But it's what we're able to do. And then us, we're last. That was God's design. And that's what I think we all need to get back to. But see, Adam and Eve, man, they didn't agree with that. See, God created Adam, God created Eve. He gave them this beautiful garden to live in. He said, hey, by the way, do whatever you want. Have fun. Go crazy. I have one rule. Not three rules, not five rules, not 10 rules, not 25 rules, not 666 rules. One rule. Don't eat from that tree. I think that sounds pretty reasonable. But they didn't. And it doesn't help they were tempted. There was this guy named Satan. Now, you don't like to talk about Satan. You don't want to, Satan's not real, blah, blah, blah. He's very real and he hates your guts and he hated their guts. And see, his goal is to create this order disorder. His goal is to create this confusion in us because he gets really happy when we're miserable. That's his whole point. Because see, God created just to love us. And he hates God, so he hates us. And he wants to thwart everything we're doing. So from the very beginning, he went after Adam and Eve. And see, God had said, don't eat from this one tree. And Satan basically went to Eve and said, well, you know, the reason God doesn't want you to eat from this tree is because if you eat from this tree, you'll become like God. And he doesn't want you to be like him. He's holding out on you. It's the same thing Satan said to each of us every time we've ever known we shouldn't do something, we've done it anyway. We think we know more than God, we're smarter than God, and we don't need to listen to God. See, that's what Eve did. Eve replaced God with herself. She said, I'm smarter than God. So in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, this is what happened. Satan comes, and the woman was convinced. So she saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and she ate it. God had said no. God was supposed to be at the top, but Eve said, you know what? I'm smarter. I'm wiser. I know more. So she saw, she wanted, and she took. And we've been doing that ever since. We know what God says. Maybe we've decided God doesn't exist. Maybe we've tried to push him away, but somewhere deep in our souls, we were all born with some sort of an innate, okay, yeah, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, I'm not supposed to do this. But we've all decided, you know what? Mm-mm. I'm smarter, I'm wiser, I'm better. I see, I want, and I take. That's what Eve did. Now, Adam, it's interesting. Eve replaced God with herself. And she put herself at the top. Adam didn't do that. Adam did something else. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. See, Adam didn't think he was God. Adam thought Eve was God. Now, before you get too hard on him, you do need to remember, they didn't have any clothes on yet. She said, eat the fruit. He said, okay. Kind of hard to fault my boy on that one. But still, an order disorder was created. A confusion was created. We began to no longer believe that maybe God wants the best for me. You know what? Maybe I am smarter. And maybe I can accomplish all the things of God. Or maybe this other person can accomplish the things of God. And maybe this other person can make me feel the way I want to feel. And maybe this other person can solve my problems. And maybe this can work. And so this order disorder was born when both Adam and Eve chose to rebel. And they chose to say, God, we are smarter than you. And the result of their order disorder is the very same as the result of every single time we give in to our order disorder as well. Here's what happened. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. They felt shame. They felt an emotion the God of the universe never intended for humans to feel. But they felt shame. For the very same reason you feel shame. Because you know deep down you made a mistake. Now maybe you don't know what the mistake was. You don't know why it was such bad. Because you were convinced right up until you did it, it was going to make you feel great. This was going to be everything. This was going to be the answer to all my problems. This is the best decision I've ever made. Then you make the decision, and you immediately say, what have I done? And you're so confused about how it didn't work. And the reason you were confused is because you have a disorder. And I have a disorder. We have an order disorder. We have no clue who should be running our life. and the way you react to your disorder, and the way I react to the order disorder, the shame always leads to the same thing. Shame leads to blame. God comes up. He comes looking around. He's like, hey, what's going on here? In verse 11, he says, who told you were naked? Because he comes looking for them. They're like, we're naked. You can't find us. He says, who told you were naked? He says, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? Now, let me be clear. God knew what had happened. It's like when your kid does something wrong and you know what they did, but you want to make them say it anyway. We call that the Jacob principle in our house. Jacob, do you understand? Stand. That's what he says. I'm like, you don't understand. Say it again. So God said, what happened? Did you eat from the tree? No. Come on, man. Here's what Adam says back. The man replied, it was the woman. It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it because she didn't have no clothes on. What was I supposed to do? He blames her. The very person he had elevated to God status in his life, the second it didn't work, the second it turned to shame, the shame led to blame, and he blamed that person. Some of you are blaming people in your life because they aren't delivering on something only God can deliver. And that's not their problem. That's your problem. See, when you feel the shame over your order disorder, when you feel the shame over the decisions, and that shame turns to blame, and that shame turns to resentment, and you get mad at that person, you got to go back and you got to remember, whoa, I have an order disorder here. But see, we've been lied to. You've been lied to. I've been lied to. We've all been lied to, right? We've been fed this myth, this Hollywood lie that we need to find the person that makes us happy. We need to find that person that completes me. Trey, you just don't get it. This person, they just don't complete me. I just got to keep looking. At one point, I thought they were going to complete me, but they no longer complete me. And I need somebody who's going to complete all that is me. Let me help you. It's a lie. It's a myth. It is a byproduct of our order disorder. We actually believe people can complete us, which is ridiculous because that is the rule of a God. And there's only one God who can play that role in your life. See, God completes us. God is who makes us whole. God is who provides all that we need. God is who provides meaning and purpose and satisfaction and contentment. And he did it over 2,000 years ago. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, right, when they rebelled, and I know you hate the word sin. I know it creeps you out, especially when we talk about sin in church. But think of it this way, right? Right? God has a sweet spot for your life. And it's not about controlling you. It's about creating the best life possible for you. And God's got a design for how to have that happen. And every time you step out of that design, you're stepping out of God's sweet spot for your life, and you're committing what's called a sin. See, sin literally means missing the mark. And you're just missing the mark for God's best for your life. That's what Adam and Eve did. They sinned. They decided they were smarter than God. And when that sin came, shame. And the reason they felt that shame was because they were separated from God. See, God is perfect and holy. God cannot be around sin. In fact, the only thing God can do to sin is destroy it. So when Adam and Eve sinned, he had to kick them out of the garden. They were gone. And the entire Old Testament tells the story of time after time after time of him trying to convince his people to turn back to him. And then we get to the New Testament and he changes the game. He sends his son. He sends Jesus. He comes himself, and Jesus never once steps out of God's design for his life, never once leaves the sweet spot. He is completely and totally perfect. When he was a kid, he wasn't just a good student. He was a high A student. He was top notch. Never messed up. Once again, being his brother had to be a raw deal. James wrote a book, the Bible, later, and have a lot of admiration for James, because I'm sure many times Mary would say, "Well, can't you be more like your brother?" And James would say, "Mom, really? He's God. It's impossible. Leave me alone." So Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, and then get this. He allowed himself to be arrested, beaten, and nailed to a tree. And you may say, why'd he have to do all that? Well, he had to do all that because we have an order disorder. And we've rebelled, and we've sinned, and we've been separated from God. And the only way to fix that separation was to get rid of the sin. And rather than punishing you and punishing me and punishing us for our mistakes, almost 2,000 years ago on a Friday afternoon when Jesus hung on that cross, when he said, "It is finished," what was finished was your punishment and my punishment that we deserve for every sin not only have we ever committed or ever will commit in our lives. It was gone. Like that. See, God fixed it. He fixed the problem we were born into. And now, through Jesus Christ, if we believe what he's done, we can be complete. God completes us. He has brought us back to the place we were supposed to be. He's brought us back so we can have a complete and total and perfect relationship with the God of the universe, one that fills our needs and gives us the meaning and purpose and satisfaction and contentment and guidance we desperately desire. And that we have been trying to find in anything and everything else. You've tried to find it in a spouse, didn't work. You've tried to find it in a career, didn't work. You thought, wrong career, I'll be more successful, didn't work. You got twice the money you had 5 years ago and you're half as happy. Do you know why? Because God completes us. Nothing else. God completes us. Our spouse complements us. And that is a humongous difference. Yes, you need to find someone that brings out the best in you. Yes, if you could find someone that is strong where you're weak, that is completely fine and acceptable, and that is God's design. But if you're looking for a person to complete you, it will never work because you are asking that person to play the role of a God. And they are not equipped for that job. And you may wonder, why is this so hard? Why do we struggle? Why is this something we can't wrap our brains around? Well, as I said, it's because we're born this way, right? Yes, Jesus has come and solved the problem, but we have to accept what he's done. We're born, I guess you could call it cursed. We are born doomed to separation from God. We're born pre-wired to say, this is right. You're born believing you are more important than anything and anyone else in the world. If you don't believe me, spend 5 minutes with a newborn. They ain't thinking about nobody else but themselves. Feed me. Ah! They aren't thinking, you know what? Mom and Dad have been up for 24 hours straight. I should cut them a break. You know, I got this. I'm just going to chill for a little while, give you guys some rest because I love you. No. Pure selfishness. We're born cursed. We are born this way. Why were we cursed? Well, because it was a result of what theologians call the fall. The fall was what happened when Adam and Eve chose to rebel and sin entered the world, right? It wasn't just entered into Adam and Eve. It was entered into the entire world. The Bible tells it this way in Genesis. In verse 17, he says, "And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you." But see, it wasn't just the ground that was cursed. It wasn't just the ground that was cursed. It was everything. We were born cursed. We were born not being able to know which way to go. We were born with an order disorder, not knowing how to solve this problem. 2,000 years ago, God sent the solution through His Son. And today, the solution is so simple. It's one choice that you have to make now. And it's one choice that is the beginning of the rest of your life and the rest of the choices you have to make. And here's the choice. Reverse the curse. Put God first. He's got to be there. You can't make decisions. I can't make decisions. I certainly can't trust my feelings. They've never worked. What if God's right? What if He really does have a plan and a design? And all we have to do to tap into it is put Him number one in our life. That's it. That's it. And then after that, He's going to begin to show us the proper way to have relationships with other people, with our families and with our friends and with our neighbors and with our coworkers and with our significant others and with our spouses. And He's going to show us how to view those relationships not as what we can get, but what we can give. Because we don't have to get. Because we have God and God has completed us. See, we're so messed up in our way of thinking because we've had this order disorder for so long. For some of you, this is even a crazy thought, but I'm telling you. That's why we're going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about this after today. The key today is very simple. Reverse the curse. Put God first. When you feel shame, who do you run to? You run to God. Don't blame. When you need meaning and purpose and satisfaction and contentment in your life, where do you run? Do you run to yourself? Do you run to others? Or do you run to the only one who is capable of providing what it is you need? I'm telling you today, some of you think the one you're with is the wrong one, but it's because you're asking the wrong things. You're asking them to complete you. And the best they can do is compliment you. They're not equipped to complete you. I know for some of you today, this is simply a reminder. You have a relationship with Jesus, but you've begun to drift. You have begun to kind of give in and say, yeah, you're right. I've been asking some things of my spouse that are unfair. I've been asking them to heal my insecurities. I thought when I got married, I wouldn't be insecure anymore. It didn't work, so I think they're the problem. See, you have an order disorder, and if you want to reverse that curse, you got to put God first. And the only way to do that is through a relationship with Jesus. I don't know what some of you are thinking. Really, dude, I came here for couples therapy. You bring me all the way to the end, and the answer is Jesus. Like, where are the steps? Where are the, when we fight, do this? And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But yes, the answer is Jesus. If you were here last week, you know what the answer was? Jesus. If you're here next week, you know what the answer will be? Jesus. If you come along enough, you'll begin to discover a pattern. There is nothing wrong with your soul that can't be fixed by getting right with Jesus. Wow, that was old school right there, wasn't it? Woo! Little Baptist coming out in me right there. I like that. I got to write that down. I can even make it rhyme. There's nothing wrong within that can't be made right without getting right with Him. You like that? Didn't work as well as I wanted it to. Oh, well. I'm telling you, if you want love that's going to last forever, if you want the fairy tale, you want all that stuff that you hear and see in movies, you want, you know, I do believe it's possible. I really do. But it's not possible the way you think it is. It's not possible in your own terms. It's not possible with you in the center. It's not possible to make it so that it's all about you and not about them. It's not going to work. And we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about that, but it's not possible without taking care of the very first thing. Because as we said at the beginning, God created this. You didn't, I didn't, God did. So as the creator of it, He gets to tell us how to use it. He gets to tell us how it's going to work the best. And He says, if you want the best, put me first. So what I want to do today is, I know some of you, you know this and you need to be reminded of this. Others of you, you need to make this decision for the very first time. You've heard about God, you've heard about Jesus, and You've heard these things, but you've just never believed. You never made them real in your heart. And I don't know, something's different today. You don't really know why. You don't know what it is, but it's different. It's clicking for you today, and it's making sense. And even as I'm talking right now, like you're feeling yourself getting a little excited, like your heart's beating a little faster. You don't really know why. And let me tell you why. It's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now. So you may have come in today not believing in God. But what you didn't realize is that God believed in you. And that God has been planning this moment for longer than you could possibly imagine. It could have been days, could have been weeks, could have been months, could have even been years. That God's been orchestrating steps to get you to this point right now where he can make this simple plea to you. Your relationship with him right now is broken because of your sin and your rebellion and your mistakes. But he sent his son to pay that price so that you did not have to leave here broken. You can leave here having been made whole. You can leave here complete, maybe for the first time ever. And once you settle that, once your relationship with God is settled, it opens you up to having the relationships with your friends and with your family and with your parents and with your children and with your significant other, with your spouse, with your girlfriend, with your fiance, in a way you never thought possible because you're finally doing it the way God intended. And so if you want any hope for weeks 2 through 5, you can't miss week 1. You want to reverse this curse? You got to put God first. And we do that through a relationship with Jesus. And right now, I ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. And what I'm going to do is very simply, I'm going to invite everyone in this room who came in not believing in Jesus to repeat these words in your heart as I say them out loud, and you can leave here having begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's very simple. Jesus, I admit I have an order disorder. Just repeat after me in your heart. I admit I have an order disorder. I want to be in charge. I want to do things my own way. And I admit that I've rebelled and I've sinned. And I understand that sin has separated us. But today I believe that you paid the price for my mistakes. I believe that your death took my sin away. And I believe when you defeated death and came back to life, it was as an example that I could too. And so today I commit my life to you, and I commit to follow you and to run to you for meaning and purpose and significance and satisfaction. God, I want to put you in the top spot in my life. And I want to allow you to reorder everything else how you see fit. Thank you for saving me. I see your son's name, we pray. Now, very simply, keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed. I want to ask you to do two things for me. We always like to know what's happening in our gatherings. And so in a moment, I'm going to simply ask that if you prayed that prayer today, and if you would say, yes, I began a relationship with Jesus today, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. It's just me and a few staff. Everybody else's head's bowed and eyes closed. But I'm going to just count to 3. And when I get to 3, just simply raise your hand as a public declaration of what's happened, that you've made a decision today that's going to change your life forever. Very simple. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead. Put them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Amen. Everybody look at me. That was cool. That was cool. One more thing and we're done. Remember I told you to keep your connection card? The reason I want you to keep your connection card was because if you just raised your hand and God has changed your life, and there were many, if you just changed your hand, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out that connection card, and on that card there's a box that says, today I became a Christ follower. It's very simple. Just check that box. Drop it at the door on the way out. Take it to the info center if you want to talk to somebody. You can drop it at the blue tent. But it's just simply a way for you to let us know what's happening in your life, what's happening in your heart, so that we can begin to walk through this life with you. See, this is not the end. This is a beginning. This is the beginning of the rest of your life. And God has so many things He wants to teach you and show you. We want to help you do that. So just simply drop that on the way out. Again, if you're a couple here today and you haven't settled this, I challenge you this week to settle it. And then I encourage you to come back next week. We're going to pick up right here, or we're going to continue this process. Like I said, this is not the end of even this. This is just the beginning. All right, we have a lot of practical coming, but we had to do the principle first. Because without the principle, the practical is just stuff we've all heard before, right? This week, wrestle with the idea that you have an order disorder. When you get mad at your husband, when you get mad at your wife, when you get mad at your girlfriend, ask yourself, am I asking of them something they are not equipped to do? And if you are, reverse that curse and put God first. And then come back next week. And we'll see what else God has to say. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us and you bless us. God, I pray for every single person in this room, whether they're in a relationship or not. Lord, I pray that you begin to prepare their hearts to love like you want them to love. Give them the relationships you want for their life. Father, make us clearly aware that we have confusion. We have an order disorder. And the only way to solve it, the only way to reverse that curse, is to put you first. And Father, as we sing these words, may they be true in our hearts, and may they change the way we live. It's in your Son's name we pray.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.